Dear Rina, New Year's Eve, Hogmanay as we say in Scotland, and I hope it will be a happy and healthy 2006 for you and your family. So here I am blethering to you, or sheeksin as we say in Shetland. I've just returned from a trip there. We did have a little snow, but not enough for a sledging expedition. I imagine you will have had much more. Is the harbour frozen over completely? It must seem strange to have such a busy harbour for part of the year, and then nothing. The sea is so ever-present in Shetland that snow, even if it falls heavily, tends not to lie very long. I've just been flicking through my collection, Parallel Worlds, and I'm amazed at how many of my poems have a reference to the sea or to lochs. Landscape, particularly of Shetland, has been an ever-present source of inspiration to me, it would appear. I visited Helsinki once before I met you, and even then the poem I wrote about it was sea-related. Water Mirror. Above the harbour, swifts flit in the still of a bright morning. By afternoon, a slight breeze choreographs a ballet of sails. In the evening, tiptoeing cranes lay down their burdens lightly. In the water's mirror, I recollect an early paradise, its dizzy freedom reflected perfectly, and life's dance, elemental and unrehearsed, gracing its several worlds towards all receding Edens.
Dear Christine, the Christmas holiday is usually associated with ideas of reading a good book on the sofa in candlelight, carols playing in the background. Well, my Christmas was somewhat different. I had two wild boys running around a relatively small apartment, and the music was Pikkuge, a Finnish rap artist, rather than Christmas carols, and they are only 4 and 7 years old. So instead of reading, I would rush to the ice skating field to play ice hockey with Aaro, 7, and train Eino, 4, to hobble and wobble on the skates, which haven't got the same atmosphere. The climate in Helsinki has during the past few years started to resemble the German climate, i.e. hot, warm, sunny summers and grey, mild winters. Helsinki is situated by the sea, which affects a lot. It is sad, this global warming. I can sense it happening so fast. We ought to do something about it, we being mankind. I have been thinking a lot about the dilemma of a woman writer with a family during this Christmas holiday. I do have a room of my own, as Wolf recommended, in the cellar of this block of flats. But I wasn't really able to go there, as my husband was at work and I had to look after the children. My only computer at home is located in the kitchen, and as we all know, the kitchen is the heart of the home, and therefore often very busy. I hadn't intended to work during the holiday, but as it happened, I got the proofs of both my new books. So I had to read them and make the last corrections without really having the peace and quiet I would have needed. I do value my lovely boys, but sometimes I think that this profession would be easier for a man or a single woman. Thank you for the poem, Water Mirror. That view is very familiar to me, as I used to work in Lauttasaari, Drumsö, when I was 20. I simply loved the moment when the bus drove to the big bridge, and all you could see on both left and right sides was sea. What a relief. It made it easier to breathe, seeing the sunrise and the sailing yachts. I hope you have lots of light in your January.
Dear Rina, I remember clearly that phase of my life and the mix of frustration and joy it brought. In 12 years' time, you will indeed be sitting curled up on that sofa in front of the fire with a glass of wine, reading. The boys will be out enjoying themselves. You may worry a little about where they are, and when you look in the fridge, the food will have disappeared. They will probably still listen to music you don't quite see the point of. But Daniel, now 21, is into rap and also loves the music of the 60s and collects albums I used to listen to as a teenager. Your current winters sound like ours. The Scots are good at grey and mild. But I'm glad I remember hard white winters from childhood. Once we got cut off by road for 6 weeks, I think, and had to be relieved by a steamer bringing supplies. One year we even skated on the sea. Global warming is indeed a worry in terms of the major physical systems like weather and ocean currents. Strange that each economic decision we make as individuals may be adding up to such large-scale problems. Footprints, Hagister, Shetland, 2004. I circumnavigate the loch, imprint myself on moss and bog. Oyster catchers, fuss, lure me from their nest, ties me for their nests. A ape cock, ah, her lane with me there is fit for tying. And the Turks, ah, but nine to mark their territory, to make harakiri. I weary to be hattered by their dive and flachtering. They're flown half gates around the world to find their simmer hame nae mair as ocean desert. They're no a laughter raised to learn the why of starns. Back in my car, I touch the easy throttle, try to scunge myself with that chain of events, the endless link of their foundering existence. I picture you now, Rena, with your computer in the kitchen. The cellar doesn't sound an ideal location, but at least you should get some peace there, and perhaps sensory deprivation may help the writing process. I work mainly in a little room off the kitchen, which at one time would have been a good-sized utility room for laundry. It's not ideal, but it works quite well. For my own part, I think, I made a decision to earn my living in the education sector, as in Scotland it's very difficult to make a living from writing, especially poetry. Also, I wanted to write a fair bit in Shetlandic rather than English, and that I knew would make it even more marginal. Possibly that's why I write poetry rather than prose, as it had to be done in snatched moments. P.S. I liked your reference to the feeling of relief when, as a child, you crossed the big bridge in Helsinki. It reminded me of an occasion during my childhood when our parents took us to the Cairngorm Mountains for a holiday. One day we drove down to the coast of the Murray Firth, and as we came over the hills and saw the horizon, the whole family, six of us, let out a huge and simultaneous sigh of relief. We hadn't realised how important it was to us.
Dear Christine, Finland is experiencing exciting times. Yesterday we had the presidential election. Most people thought that our current president, Tarja Halonen, would get more than 50% of the votes in the first round, and that would be it solved then. But instead she got 46% of the votes and is going for a second round with a challenger, Sauli Niinistö. I am for Tarja Halonen, as she is a wise person and wants to maintain the welfare society we've had, and what is more, she is a woman. At the moment I am preparing myself for the trip to Canada by reading Alice Munro's Runaway, which is a treasure of a book. I really like Canadian literature. How the latitude combines. I feel Canada, Shetland, Scotland and Siberia much closer to my nature than the Mediterranean. The forests in Munro seem a familiar landscape too. Well, Shetland hasn't got the forests, but never mind. About my working facilities. In our kitchen there is a cupboard, and when you open it, there is a kind of table which can be pulled out, and a laptop is placed on that little table. I have been working on poems after a long pause. Once I have finished writing, I push the table back in and close the four little doors, and my writing altar is hidden again. The cellar is also not as bad as it sounds. My working room in the basement is big, and there is a little window too. The rent is low and it is near home, so it is very handy. Before my second son was born, I worked in Villa Kivi, a writer's house, in a beautiful wooden house similar to Moomin House in Tove Jansson's books by Turle Bay. Perhaps I will go back there one day when my children are bigger. Meanwhile, it is worthwhile being near the school and the kindergarten, as I have to walk them there and fetch them home. In Finland there is also a boom of dialect books, poems written by Heli Laaksonen in the dialect of southwest of Finland are amazing bestsellers, and also loved by children. There have been fresh translations of cartoons like Asterix, Donald Duck and so forth in different Finnish dialects. I think it is a very good thing. Like you point out in the introduction of Parallel Worlds, having two ways of speaking at one's disposal and several registers is true linguistic wealth. I couldn't agree more.
Dear Rina, lovely to get your email. Now I can imagine you coming back from delivering the boys to school, putting the coffee pot on and opening up that secret cupboard, your little holy of holies. Like you, I feel going into my little room is a bit like venturing beyond the temple veil. Writers are an odd bunch. I can still see in my mind's eye the colourful images around which you built some of your poems, and they're almost dream quality. The red-mouthed bird of a dream baby feeding at your breast. That hat in the poem Reflection. My translation of that poem into Shetlandic began... Froed upon October sea is lurked like stretch marks after birth. A tousle in me hair sticks to lipstick. I sort me cap to be mair yellow, mair red. The photographer dinks one in my een wi' a maple leaf. Kinda makes me look the part. And the one with all the amazing colours. I ate the pale yellow lime luster pepper. It tastes of the sun, crumpen, nurse. Like you, I feel an affinity with northern latitudes. I like the bareness and open vistas and the changeability too. Funny you should say about Shetland not having forests. When we were children, we used to enjoy the magical 2 seconds as our car went through the little shelter belt of trees at Caergert. That was our forest. Everything is relative. It's interesting to hear that dialect writing is to the forefront now in Finland. That is heartening, as one tends to hear the opposite, whether about extinction of plants, animals or cultures and languages. P.S. I hope the woman wins the presidential election. I haven't read about that in our press, but then the British press seems obsessed with sensationalism and so-called celebrity. It disgusts me when a quality Scottish Sunday newspaper has a big picture of Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie with her little bump on the front page. Did I not hear that 350 or more people were crushed to death at the Hajj this last week?
Dear Christine, I think poetry in Finland is doing very well. The 90s started a golden era after a pause. This sounds awful, but today poetry is almost trendy. Poetry doesn't sell so immensely, but poetry in itself is always a topic here. Finnish people write a lot, and the new poets are very ambitious, and they are aware of the poetic tradition. I think a poet should say something that is worthwhile. I suppose you remember what happened in the city of Beslan, near Chechnya. A school was hijacked, and the little children and parents were taken as hostages. After 3 days of thirst, heat, and horror, hundreds of children and adults were dead. This case in its brutality was, to me, the most horrifying event in my lifetime. I followed it very closely. I tried to hide the awful photographs from my son's eyes. Aaro had just started to go through the newspapers in the morning. I have been trying to write a simple poem about that, from a point of one little 6-year-old girl who died. I read in the paper a year later that the mothers and grandmothers who lost their relatives still bring water bottles and Coca-Cola bottles to the graves of the children, as they were so thirsty in the hot school gym and were not allowed to drink anything.
Dear Rina, it's interesting that you plan to focus on a little 6-year-old girl. Strangely, I did the same in my poem about 9/11, except that I saw her as a symbol of hope in human nature. Whatsoever things are lovely. A drizzle of peats, a summer full to glean from timeless slopes, that holding their dark fire, cupped fair lunga water. In the sun the peaty loch sparkled secret and bottomless. Just out of reach, a lure of water lilies floated, luscious and exotic, into a money. In the town today you skipped up to me, alive to every element, open on a lake of trust. Before I went, you closed petal arms around me. A flash of Eden, surely, or a breath of lunga water, a charm against the muddiness stirred up within this fragile world. A smoor a pits, a simmer foo to hent fae timeless brews, at hadden their dark fire coppet fair lunga water. I the sun, the pity loch glanced secret and bottomless. Just out a wreck, a ties o' water lilies floated, luscious and exotic, into a money. The day it a tundo skipped up to me, alive to every element, open on a loch o' trust. Afore I good, do closed petal arms around me, a flash o' Eden surely, or a breath o' lunga water, a charm for nence the grummel steered up into this brookit world. The little loch in the poem called Lunga Water was where we cut and cured our peats, that's moor for fuel. It was also where, a generation earlier, the Shetland poet Vagland had had his peats, and he wrote a beautiful love poem about the water lilies there. He must have paddled in that loch as a child like we did and felt the soft, warm, peaty bottom stirred up between his toes. I hope it makes sense in English. I think the sound works to enhance the poem in the original Shetlandic version better. Always a difficulty when translating a poem, when sound is a critical component.
Dear Christine, the presidential election is happily over. Tarja Halonen will be our president for the next 6 years. Halonen got about 51.9% of the votes, whereas Sauli Niinistö got 48.1%. I am very pleased that my sons grow up in a society where it is absolutely normal to have a woman as a president. Niinistö wanted to take Finland to NATO, but most of the Finns reject that idea. We live next to Russia. We don't want to commit ourselves to being loyal to NATO, should America want to attack somewhere again.
Dear Rina, it sounds as if you've had an exciting week with a successful outcome to the presidential election, and I can see why you value Finland's neutrality. I love the sound of your poems when translated into Shetlandic. They should be sung. The present, a tense. And even if they were to set them by the moonbrig, supping a sparkling drink, e bubble at a time, and cars would swoosh across their ain brig, wheat and glancing, and this minute would be the lang and swithering, yet the een lang vermished for, this fine happen chance. Ane of them would be thawing mair as ever afore at exactly that minute, as she would see the picture framed and hersel roodin' on about that minding, the moonbrig, the fumy cars, the drink, the pain felt already done, and now. And even if the tithering would soon feel cold, and the night would drattle down o'er them, and they were just finishing, they would hae to find their way out of this moment. It would soon be morning, had tumult and cruds on their way to work, the streets black with them, the first shifts, the second, the third, and nothing would have.